assemble together and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's always good to be with you and be with those of Flock Precious Faith. Appreciate those that are visiting with us this evening and hope that you'll come back every opportunity that you have. Before we begin the lesson, I want to give you some words of encouragement. I mentioned to you a while back that there was six men who was housed in the Leslie County Detention Center that was interested in a correspondence course. They listened to the radio program that you support, and I commend you for that, because you never know the fruit that might come from that. You never know when an individual might express interest and when they might study, and then later on when they might obey. Well, three of the men ended up, I guess, being transferred, and so they're no longer interested in the correspondence course, but that leaves three that are still interested. And he wrote us a note requesting your prayers. And I want to give you some words that he had wrote to us. And this is encouraging. And just the fact that they could be interested in other things, but they're wanted to learn and to know the Word of God. So Richard Lane is one of them. Dexter Perrin and Jason Sarivner. He said, "We are all three in jail and we have suffered a lot of hardships." I won't read you the entire letter, but just some things that he mentioned. He said, "We would just like to ask you that you would keep all three of us in your prayers and also in the prayer requests at your church." Now, this is his words. "We have found unity together during this time, thanks to the Lord, and of peace. We just ask that you pray for us and that the path that we go on in these journeys, all three of us are facing years. Myself, I'm facing 20 years. And I ask that you just pray for us and that we will be safe no matter where this leads us." I couldn't imagine being in jail awaiting a sentence of at least 20 years or more. But that's the condition that they're in. But in the midst of that, they've been able to listen to the radio broadcast, request correspondence course, sent me several texts, just interested in the correspondence course. So we need to continue to remember them in our prayers, that good would come from that. And maybe they'll end up obeying the gospel. I don't know. None of us do when we seek to plant the seed of the kingdom, whether it's a correspondence course or just a text or a word of encouragement. We just don't know. We certainly need to continue to remember them in our prayers. And I appreciate them, though they are incarcerated, with no doubt worries being separated from their family, and other things that they may be worried about, that they're interested in what the Bible has to say. And that's encouraging to me. Major lessons from the minor prophets. Romans 15:4. Appreciate Ethan for doing a good job in that reading. "For whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the Scriptures might have hope." So this series brings us now to the book of Micah, a 7-chapter book in the Old Testament. Not nearly as long as Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel, but 7 chapters. And yet it's longer than some of the others. When you think about the book of Obadiah or the book of Jonah or some of the others that are shorter than this 7-chapter book of Micah. Micah is a book that was written to Jerusalem, to Judah. And really the first 4 chapters deal with talking about the condition of the people and the sin that they were in, from the leadership down. They were rebellious against God. And in chapters 5, 6, and 7, though he still talks about some of the sins that they were involved in, talks about what God is going to do. And yet, in the midst of all this, and the fact that they were rebellious against God, that they had transgressed God's commandments, God is still merciful. Yes, His judgment is going to come upon Judah. It's going to come upon Israel. But in the midst of that, God is compassionate. If they would just simply turn back to God, God is ready to receive them. And the book opens up to us by telling us that Micah is the writer, Micah is the prophet, and that this was concerning Judah in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And when you go back and you begin to think about the kings of Judah with Uzziah, which was Jotham's dad, you think about what type of king he was and what type of king Jotham was and Ahaz and Hezekiah, you begin to see the problem that the people had. Sometimes in the history of God's people, there were leaders that did no good thing, such as the kings of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. No good kings. But then you think about those in Judah that sometimes you had kings who did do good, who strove to do that which was right in the sight of God, though they didn't do it completely. Didn't go as far as they should have went. And then some of them did wrong in the sight of God and were wicked kings as Ahaz was. But when you begin to think about the kings and the people, that sets the backdrop for the writing of the book of Micah. When you go back and you think about what type of king each one of these was. Remember Uzziah. Uzziah we read about, of course, in the book of 2 Kings and Chronicles. You read about him in 2 Kings chapter 14, the 10th king of Israel. It was a good king. He did some things that was right, though he didn't do all that was right. You notice in verse 24 or 23 of 2 Kings 14, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years, and he did that which was evil or wrong in the sight of the Lord, departed not from the sins of Jeroboam. In fact, the kings of the northern tribes of Israel is summarized by that statement, they departed not from the sins of Jeroboam who caused Israel to sin. And that was in reference to the idolatry that he put before the people and setting up the calf, one in Dan and one in Bethel. In verse 21, and all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And he built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. And then you can come on over to 2 Kings chapter 16, or rather 15. And you read about Jotham. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. Remember what was interesting about Uzziah is he took it upon himself to go into the temple to burn incense. And remember what happened to him? God smote him because of his evil, because of his sin, with leprosy. And he died a leper. And then when you talk about Jotham, it's interesting because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he did not, the Bible makes the point, he did not go into the temple to burn incense. Well, he must have learned the lesson from Daddy. Now, Daddy went to the temple to burn incense, was not given unto him to do that. He was withstood by Amaziah, Azariah the priest, and others, valiant men. I think the Bible talks about 40 or 80 valiant men of the priests that withstood the king, and says, not given for you to burn incense. Must have learned the lesson that I'm not going to do like Dad did and go into the temple and get myself in trouble with the Lord and burn incense. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then you think about Ahaz, very wicked king that you read about in 2 Kings chapter 16 and in the book of Chronicles. And you think about the evil that he did. Jotham was 25 years old when it began to reign. And it reigned for 16 years, as the Bible talks about. And Ahaz, in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 1, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was he when it began to reign, and reigned 16 years. His dad was 25 years old, reigned 16 years. And he was 20 years old and reigned 16 years. And he did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. But he was caught up in idolatry. And he burned incense in the high places and various different places. A high place according to verse 4, sacrifice and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. And to add to that, he did as the abominations of the heathen around him. And that is, he caused his sons to pass through the fire. That is, he sacrificed his children to false gods. As you read in verse 3. Walking in the ways of the heathen around him. And a lot of other things that you read that Ahaz did. And after Ahaz was King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah did a lot that was right in restoring worship to God, cleansing the temple, told them you carry out the filthiness of the temple, in which they did. And he restored worship as it should have been. But he didn't do everything, didn't go far enough in keeping the commandments of God. But yet he did that which was right in the sight of God. 2 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 1. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. Ahaz didn't do that. Don't believe Jotham did that. But he removed the places and the groves. And notice what else he did. He break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Remember that? Numbers chapter 21. When God, as a result of the evil of the people and their murmuring and complaining, sent out among them the fiery serpents which bit many of the people and they died. But God rectified that. He said, you erect a brazen serpent on a pole. And when if anyone is bitten by a serpent, they look upon that, they'll live. Well, in process of time, instead of being done with a serpent on a pole, getting rid of it, they began to worship it. Called it Nehushtan, according to 2 Kings 18 and in verse 4. Well, he break in pieces the brazen serpent. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that was before him. Now, like the next verse, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And you remember probably Hezekiah is most noted because of the fact that Isaiah came to him. He was sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet came to him and says, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Turned his face to the wall and he cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard him and extended his life by 15 years. Some of these kings, again, were very wicked before God, and some of them did that which was right in the sight of God. And that ought to be lessons learned for us today. We ought to learn from their mistake. That when we try to change what God has prescribed, there's consequence to it. And when we seek to do what God would have us to do, God is well pleased with that. Whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now again, that teaches us many lessons. One of which, when you get to the book of Micah, and you see that Micah wrote during the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and it was Isaiah the prophet that came to Hezekiah and told him that he was going to die, that teaches us that Micah did his work during the same time period that Isaiah did. So Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. And so we pick up on that, we learn from it, that they did their work during the same period of time. And often the case is like the leadership, as the leadership goes, so goes who? The people. Many times the people will do what the leadership does. When you think about the leaders of God's people, here it was that they were caught in their wrongdoing. And the people did that which was right or wrong in the sight of God. The leaders were caught in idolatry. Guess what the people did? They were caught in idolatry as well. And so when you come over to the book of Micah, one of the key things you're going to find throughout the book is this word here. Hear the word of the Lord. In other words, listen to what God is saying. Why is all of this happening upon God's people, to God's people? Notice verse 5. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel, they did wrong, and God was going to punish them for the evil that they did. A lot of lessons that can be taken from 7 chapters of the book of Micah. The one I want you to think about tonight, rather brief one, comes from the book of Micah chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in verses 1 and 2. He cries out against the priests. He calls out against, or cries out against the princes, the prophets. He says, and I said here, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? You're in a position to know judgment. You should have done that which was right. They didn't do that which was right. Not concerned about it. Now watch verse 2. Who hate the good and love the evil. who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the caldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doing. Now let's stop there. Now think about the condition of these leaders of God's people. You should have done justice. You should have done that which was right. You were in a position to know it. You had the Word of God. You had the prophets among you. God rising up early and in the day sending His prophets among the people. Over and over, that's stated in the good book of Jeremiah. God sent His prophets among the people that they might know that which is good. They had the law. It wasn't that they were without direction, instruction from God. They had the law. But verse 2 says that they hated the good and they loved the evil. That could be the headlines on today's paper. That people even today hate the good, but yet they love the evil. Isn't that sad when that is among God's people? Say, preacher, it's not among us. I didn't say that it was. But it's sad when it is among God's people. And we've got to be reminded about things like this, lest we end up being in a place to hate the good and love the evil. To despise that which God would have us to be doing, and all the while embracing that which is wrong. Got to be very careful about that. That's an ever-present danger among God's people. In the book of Isaiah chapter 5 and then verse 20. Again, Micah is a contemporary with the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5, notice what the Bible says in verse 20. Woe unto them. It's a theme throughout the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Woe, woe, woe. At least six times. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, verse 11, verse 5 times. Verse 20, verse 21 and 22. Woe, woe, woe. Calls our ears to attention. Woe unto them that call evil good. And good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own understanding. I think about the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle among, or to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That was a problem that they had in Isaiah's time, which again was the same problem that they're having in Micah's time, because it's the same period of time. And in fact, Micah outlines these wicked behaviors that they had. He enumerates at least six sins that the people was involved in. The oppression of the poor in chapter 2. The wrong use of power in chapters 2 and 3, the lack of integrity or honesty or doing that which is just in chapters 6 and 7. They mock religion, chapter 3 and chapter 5. The false prophets among them, chapter 3. And corruption and greed in chapter 3. It's the same problems. The people had so corrupted themselves that now God is going to bring judgment upon them. Called that which is wrong, right, and that which is right, wrong. Now I think about the words of the Lord as I think about these people and the people to whom the Lord talked to in John chapter 3. And again, this is like people today. John chapter 3, have you ever wondered why it is that so many times you can't get people to sit down and study with you? I think it's a telling thing, it's a troubling thing, very revealing thing, when the case many times is you can get folks to sit down with you who are simply members of various religious groups, but you can't hardly drag the preacher that's the preacher of those groups to the table. Now think about that. It's easier many times to set up a study with the member of that particular group, and very difficult to set up a Bible study or a talk or a discussion with their preacher. Why is that? Maybe the Lord can shed some light on that in the book of John chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. Notice what He says. Well, let's begin with verse 19. And this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness. Kind of sounds like what Micah wrote about, what Isaiah wrote about. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, why is it that someone who is doing evil would love the darkness rather than the light? Well, the Lord's going to talk about that. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Here's the reason. Lest his deeds should be reproved. And I think many times that's why you can't get a lot of denominational preachers to come to the table and talk with you. Very few and far in between are those that will talk with you. Because they do not want the light of the gospel shed, shined upon that which they're believing and teaching. But he that doeth right cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. When you do what is right, and you know it's right because you know what the Bible teaches, and you know you're doing what the Bible teaches, you don't care to have a conversation with someone. Now, they might oppose it, they may not agree with it, but you don't mind at all to go to the study, do you? I don't either. I don't mind at all to set up a study. Not too long after we moved here, I may have shared this with you. Along the way, there was a pamphlet that someone stuffed in our door next door. Had the guy's contact information on it. I still had his name. And I called him and I said, I got a pamphlet in our door. Would you like to study the Bible? Well, I'm busy for the next couple of weeks, but call me back. You think I called back? 2 weeks later, I called back. Hey, 2 weeks ago, I know you had a busy schedule, and I just want to see if we'd have that study. Well, I decided I'm not going to study with you. Well, why not? Well, I'm not going to change what I believe, and you probably won't change what you believe, so it really won't do any good. I didn't say I won't change what I believe. I didn't say it won't do any good. If I'm wrong, let me know that I'm wrong. Show me. I decided not to study with you. Why not? Do you realize that if I felt like someone was wrong about what they believed, I would welcome a study because I want them to learn the truth? But folks out in the religious world don't look at it that way. They don't look at it and think, well, preacher, you're wrong, and I'll welcome the study so I can teach you what's right. You know why? Because he that doeth evil hateth the light. They don't want to come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. In the Old Testament, the people had a problem with that. We're to seek the right way. And I think about the words of Jeremiah in chapter 6 and in verse 16, something that we always need to be mindful of. We've talked about over and over that there is but one way. One way, the narrow way. One way to heaven, that's through Christ. One way, the gospel way. One faith, the faith revealed in the Bible. And in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God through the prophet said, stand and ask for the old paths. Walk in the right ways in the old paths. But they said, we won't walk in them. And there's people like that today. We don't want to do. A preacher recently mentioned to me, have you heard people talk about the new normal? I said, yeah, I've heard people mention that along the way. And you probably have too. People talk about, well, this is just the new normal. Especially in the midst of COVID. Just got to accept some things. This is the new normal. He said, what about preaching on the old normal? How about preaching on the way it has been since the New Testament? Well, I agree with that. We need to stand and ask for the old paths and walk in those paths of which we know the Bible teaches of. But then in the book of Micah chapter 3, after he talks about the princes, when you come down to verse 5, he talks about the prophets. Often the prophets would talk about the princes, the priests, the prophets, the leaders, so forth. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets. Well, maybe the princes missed the mark. Maybe the princes hated the good and embraced the evil. But maybe the prophets knew better and did better. Not so. Notice what the Bible says concerning them in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, even they prepare war against them. Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have vision, And it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. The prophets weren't any better. Now let's not say there weren't righteous, good prophets during the days of Israel. We're talking about Micah. We're talking about Isaiah. And I'm not saying they were perfect, but yet they were doing the Lord's work. When the Lord bid them to go, they went. But not all prophets did that. There were many prophets in the land that caused people to err. That caused them to trust in lies. Look over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. We were just there a moment ago. But Jeremiah chapter 6, as you think about the prophets. And actually, before we get to chapter 6, when you notice chapter 5 and then verses 30 and 31, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. I want to know what it is. Read the next verse. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Now that tells you again the condition of the people. The prophets are prophesying falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. They're not doing what is right. And what about the people? They love to have it so. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine today, preachers not preaching that which is right, and the people loving to have it so? Speak unto us smooth things. I remember reading about that. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 6, and notice, if you will, begin with verse 13. Jeremiah 6 and then verse 13 beginning. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. All is well. Smooth things. And yet not teaching the people the right ways of the Lord. Not talking about sin. And you know, folks today many times love to have it so. Don't preach to us about sin. Don't preach to us about repentance and about hell and about difficult things. Preach unto us about joy and peace and about heaven and the love of God and the compassion. All those are important, but not to the neglecting of the other. You see that point? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. What about today? I suggest to you that there are things today that used to, once upon a time, make people blush. But they care not about it anymore. They don't care to do it out in the open. They don't care about what you think about it. They don't care about your children. You take your kids to a restaurant and you hear filthy talk. I don't want to hear it, and I don't want my kids hearing it. But yet people don't care about that. I remember a long time ago when I was just a little boy and lived 3 miles up in a holler, and a lot of folks were given to alcohol and so many things, and it's even worse now than it was then. But there was a fellow that lived down the road from us who... There was just a little wide place, and many of you from the mountains, you know how sometimes you got a little wide place before you drop over the hill. He'd love to sit there on hot summer days and drink beer. But I remember so many times, all of us knew what he was doing. But so many times we'd go by him, and guess what he would do with the can? He'd put it behind his back. At least he didn't want people to know what he was doing, though everyone knew about it. But just think about today. Folks don't put it behind their back. It's just out in the open. And they don't care what you think about it. That's the type of people we live among today. They don't blush about what they do. And their transgression against God. And that was Israel's problem in the days of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah and the other prophets. They did not blush concerning those things. And in Jeremiah chapter 23 and in verse 11... Jeremiah 23, verse 11. For both prophet and priest. Now, notice how they're described. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. In chapter 28 and in verse 15. Jeremiah 28, verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. They were corrupt. You think about their problem. The kings were corrupt many times. The prophets were corrupt many times. The priests were corrupt many times. And the people likewise. And as a result of that, God brought judgment upon them. Well, preacher, what does that have to do with us today? Well, we have heard Radar hearing a moment ago, Romans 15, verse 4. These things are for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Many times parents say to their children, I'm going to tell you what I did so you can learn from my mistake and not repeat it. Learn from their lesson. And don't make the same mistake that they made. You don't have to make the same mistake. Learn from it. From those who made it. What does that have to do with us today? Book, chapter, verse, preaching for one. As I mentioned this morning briefly. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. You need to remember 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 that talks about the time will come when they will not endure that which is right. He says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's emphasis. That word expressly. He could have just said, Now the Spirit speaketh. But he said, The Spirit speaketh expressly. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, not from a faith, from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you can't just walk in a building that says Church of Christ on the door and think that you're going to hear the truth every time. Maybe once upon a time, I don't know really if there was ever a time in this country where that was the case. I don't know. I've not lived in every year. But I've heard many say that there was many times when days gone by and you set out to go on a trip, you could stop at a Church of Christ where they met and you would hear the same thing that you heard back at home. Not so anymore. In a lot of places. In a lot of places. One time in northern Kentucky, me and Tracy stopped outside of Erlanger, I believe it was, and on a Sunday, and the fellow said, preacher met us at the door. I may have shared this with you along the way, but he met us at the door, just very vibrant and nice and welcoming. And he said, Now we do have a piano. I don't know if that'd be a problem. Well, yeah, yes it is. Can you show us a place where they don't have one? And he was nice, took us into his office and pulled out a director. And he said, Here's a group that meets, and they don't use an instrument. That's what we're doing. But you can't go and expect to hear the same thing in every place that you go. That's why it's important, it's imperative that we know the Scriptures, that we won't be led astray like the Bible warns about in Ephesians chapter 4 and in Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and so forth. Slay them in, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Then in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1, I charge thee. Makes a good sermon, a good study, divine charges. Paul charges, admonishes many times. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. What am I to do as a preacher? Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch on all things and endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Preach the Word. Lest we fall into the same condemnation that Israel long ago did, because they had corrupted themselves many times with the abominations of the heathen around them. Don't be like everybody else. Be a peculiar people unto God's glory. Zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. I hope that the lesson has been beneficial to you as we think about proclaiming the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel.
Preacher, what must I do?
It's not changed from this morning. It's not changed from the New Testament. Hearing the gospel, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. We saw a wonderful example of that this morning. We rejoiced with it. A brother a couple of weeks ago in Lenox this morning. But maybe you're here and you say, Preacher, I have done that, but I've not been faithful as I should. And I want to be restored. I want to come home. Come home. Sometimes we sing a great invitation song, come home. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we have His assurance that He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't delay. Come right now.